How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Welcome to the latest episode of 90 Min and Pledge Ball's podcast series, Football's Climate Conversation, in which we take a look at how climate change is affecting the beautiful game. In this episode, we'll be discussing the importance of player advocacy with Arsenal goalkeeper Alexi Rojas. Alex, welcome to September.
Woo, September. The weather's gone downhill drastically in 2 days, but who cares? We're here and it's nice and warm in this virtual studio.
How are you? You look very cold, actually. You've got a virtual cold grey football pitch behind you.
I have, yeah. I think it's Hackney Marshes. But it sets the right tone, doesn't it, for the upcoming weather and inclement weather. I've been well, thanks. Had a nice little break in France, where I travelled sustainably, travelled over train and coach exclusively to visit like various parts of France, the Loire Valley and the West Coast. Pardon?
I said that's a switch for you. When I first met you, there was none of that.
Is indeed. I'm almost at 1 year without flying, so keeping going strong, but it's difficult. I must say it is difficult.
Are you enjoying traveling by train though?
I prefer the experience of traveling by train. It's much better. I don't miss airports. That's the one thing I don't miss about flying, is I do not miss airports in any shape or form.
Oh, very nice. Well, it's very nice to see you back. So I had a lovely time meeting Alexi over the summer, as you can tell. And yeah, it was really nice actually to revisit and listen to that podcast today. I think I was quite blown away, to be honest, by what an eloquent 18-year-old he was. He's since had his A-level results, which he talks about in there, and when he absolutely flew through them. What were your thoughts around the Alexi interview?
Well, likewise, I think, first of all, it's brilliant to see someone in professional football who is genuinely and authentically interested in the topic of sustainability. And to your point earlier, Katie, he's so eloquent and articulate about how he discusses his points. I think even before you got onto the subject of sustainability, it was interesting to hear his insight on, you know, the pathway and journey he's followed at Arsenal, alongside some of the elements and how the club has integrated him as part of decision making when it comes to sustainability. So I think, you know, Arsenal from that perspective also have to be applauded because they've clearly recognised his interest in the area and they've integrated him into that decision making and fueled his interest, and he's clearly very, very interested in the area of sustainability. So I think it was a really interesting conversation that you had with him.
I agree, he sounded very well rounded. Well, let's have a listen and then have a little chat about the interview afterwards. So over to the studio. Alexi, it is lovely to finally have you on the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me here. It's been a couple of months where I wanted to come and join you guys on this podcast, and I'm looking forward to it. We've touched some good topics today.
We already have had a massive debate before we start recording. So you've had a great summer, haven't you? It's ended with your pro contract being offered at Arsenal. So can you tell us, for everybody else, like, how do you get to that point? How long have you been part of the academy? What's that process then when you're waiting on that pro contract coming through?
Yeah, so the academy process is split up into a lot of stages. I've been at Arsenal since I've been 13. I'm 18 now, so more than 5 years. And up until the age of 16, you usually work on 1 or 2 year contracts that basically just bind you to the club. That you're not getting paid anything, doesn't show that it's your job. But it basically says you just play for, in my case, Arsenal, and you can't play for any other clubs. And then from the age of 16, once you finish year 11 in school here in the UK, once you finish your GCSEs, you maybe or maybe not get offered a scholarship. It's like an apprenticeship. So you become a full-time footballer, you do all of your education at the club, and then you train in the mornings. And that's what I had had prior to having my pro contract. And then before the end of that 2-year scholarship, which would take you up until the end of year 13 if you were still in school, then you get told whether you get offered a professional contract or not. And I got offered mine. I got told back in February, I got told, and I signed it at the start of July.
Wow. So how many, do you know how many people tend to make it through and how many people don't?
Well, it depends a lot from club to club, because at bigger clubs like Arsenal, the budgets are often bigger, so they can take on more players. Whereas at smaller clubs, they won't have the same resources. They don't take on as many players. So it depends a lot, but usually, I'll give you the example. In my group, there was 15 of us. 7 of us got the contracts.
Okay.
7 of us didn't. And then there's one who's been given an extension on his scholarship.
Okay. Oh, wow. So that's quite like, that's a big kind of drop rate then.
Yeah.
And so how long does that contract take you to now then?
So the current contract takes me until the end of this season with another option to extend.
And how will this season look then compared to last season?
In terms of what, playing?
Yeah.
So this season so far is shaping up to be exciting. I came into pre-season just having played 2 games with Colombia with the under-20 team. So that was good to get the season started, have some international football out there, train, play matches, came straight back into Arsenal with the under-21s for a week. And then since the first team came back for pre-season, I've been with them for the whole of pre-season. Wow. As the number 4 goalkeeper now. So that's been really, really good for me. And hopefully this season I can train a lot with them, play 21s football and be able to get out on loan in the second half of the season.
Nice. So what's it been like then under Arteta?
It's been very demanding, but such a good environment to learn. I've learned so much, not just from the coaches, but from the players as well. Also learning from myself, from training after every action, whether it's a good action, a bad action. There's so much every day that I've been taking in and been eating it all in like a sponge.
So is it all like, there's no study anymore? You said it was school before in the afternoon, was it?
Yeah, there's no obligatory education anymore because we've technically finished education as it would be here legally in the UK. So I've finished my A-levels. I get my results this coming Thursday.
What did you take for it?
Just economics, and then I've done BTEC sport as well. Nice. So I've already got that. I've got a distinction in that. And then hopefully I'll get a good result on Thursday for economics. But I still keep studying. So I'm going to be doing a sports science degree online. And I've literally just started doing Portuguese.
Amazing. Portuguese, and you're already bilingual, right?
Trilingual. English, Spanish, Russian.
Amazing. Russian?
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay. And is that because of your parents?
Yeah. My dad's Colombian. My mom's Russian.
Amazing. Okay. So we're here, obviously, we've brought you in, reeled you in, because you've already, at the age that you're at, been very willing to speak out about climate. You've been really keen to get involved and kind of share the message. So I want to just explore that a little bit. Mm-hmm. When did you start? Do you remember the point at which you wanted to speak more about climate? Is it something you've always been concerned about?
For me, it was quite a gradual build up into it. I remember my mum, she's been working in renewable energy for a number of years now. She works as a risk manager for a company that builds offshore wind farms. She's worked for a number of companies now, so she understands the industry quite well. And I would have been about 10, 11 at the time when she first got into that industry. And I was quite interested in it. She'll tell me about what it consisted of. She'll tell me about the process of building these wind farms. And she sometimes took me into the office as well, and I could meet the people that were doing it. And I took a real interest into the whole topic of why renewable energy was important and how it was helping us. So after that, I'd done a bit more of my own research in terms of sustainability, the impact we're having on the world. And I understood the importance of why we need to take action to be more sustainable, to protect our planet, protect the years that are coming forward. And then within football, sort of from the age 14, 15, I remember speaking about it at an event at Arsenal. It was a leadership group that we had, and we were deciding on what topic to focus on for that season. And we ended up choosing anti-racism, which we've done great work on. We managed to get a protocol against discrimination for how to manage it if it happens on pitch or off pitch. So that's fantastic. That's implemented all the way through under 9s to 21s football in the Premier League. However, I was speaking about sustainability and the importance of it, and the coaches saw that and they were like, okay, let's give you an opportunity to speak about it. So a couple of opportunities came up, one with Sky Sports around Green Football Weekend, this was back when I was 15, one with Octopus Energy, one of Arsenal's sponsors. And then I was also able to implement a few changes at the club, smaller changes, stuff around reusable packaging, compostable packaging, not using single-use plastics, recycling. And ever since then, it's just been building. And in recent times, I've done a lot of work with Elliot from Football for Future, some work with Common Goal, speaking at different events and advocating the importance of players talking about this topic and football having that strong connection about why we need to make change and the impact that football can have.
That's great. That's also such a great story. I love that your mum works like in renewable energy and offshore wind. Yeah. When you said she took me into the office, I was thinking, oh, maybe she took him out to sea and on the little boats to go and see. Fair,
I remember being at the office and them all showing me how it works. And I remember the next day I got a piece of paper and I drew up like the installation process, the offshore, the turbines, and then all the cables going underneath and how it works. And then my mum took it the next day to the office and showed it to the to the people that she was working
that.
With.
We need to get you in a documentary visiting the offshore wind farms to
that would be really,
to really
cool.
showcase it.
I always see them when I'm flying.
They're great, aren't they?
Because I travel a lot for football.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a topic we'll touch later on. Yeah. Is I love seeing it out the window. It's always pretty
they
cool.
Look great, don't they? Yeah. Every time you go to Brighton as well, like, you can see that wind farm in the distance, can't you? So have you met, I mean, it's great as well to hear that Arsenal have been so receptive and really picked up on the fact that you were interested in sustainability. And actually, just before we go into that, the other thing I really like that you said about the racism program is that it's then actually gone into protocol. It's not just been a campaign, it's had that longer lasting thing. But have you met resistance from anybody when you've wanted to speak out about climate, whether it's kind of your peers, your like your teammates? Is there anyone who's shown you resistance?
I wouldn't necessarily say that it's been resistance. I'd say it's more so just been people that don't really agree with it. They think there's been a couple of things. Sometimes some people say, oh, just focus on your football, which is the classic. Like, why do you need to do anything else? And I think that applies for anything nowadays, because now footballers are trying to be more than just a footballer. People with other things. Some people go into fashion. Some people want to do more community work. And some people will always be like, oh, just focus on your football. Stop doing the extra thing. So that's always been there. And then a lot of teammates as well, they don't necessarily understand the topic itself. So they often say like, oh, why do you care so much about sustainability? It's like, what you're actually going to do about it and things like that. But I think it all stems from a lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding around the topic, and not being well informed. I think that's what it is, more so than just ignorance. I think is more so lack of understanding.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I was going to say to you, firstly, how do you answer those kind of questions? Mm-hmm. How do you answer those questions around why do you care so much?
Well, for me, I care so much because I understand the importance of it. And for me, it's a topic that I know is vital in today's society, in today's world, because it's not something that we can just leave on one side and just forget about it, you know. We have to be actively working on it, because otherwise the world that we all live in is not going to be the same in 20, 30 years time. And we know that for a fact. That's not something that's just been predicted. It's fact, because we've already seen the changes that have happened in the last 50 years. So if that's happened in the last 50 years, imagine what's going to happen in the future. And I tell them that for me, it's important. I care about it. For me, it's something that I know that we need to make change. And then I also talk about the power of football within it. I think football is the greatest tool to drive change in anything in the world, because football is the most popular sport in the world, I think, is what unites people the most. You ask somebody about football in any corner of the planet, they'll know what it is. Everyone always watches big football events, the Euros, Copa America, the World Cup. Everyone always knows what's happening. And there are so many fans connected to their clubs, to their nations, to individual players. And you should see fans worship their clubs as if it was a religion sometimes. They want to do what the players do. They want to do what the club promotes. So if clubs can promote positive messaging around many different topics, not just sustainability, but we can talk about gender equality and anti-discrimination, things like that, is that I'm sure we will be able to reach a huge number of people, and that's how we can drive change in the long term.
You speak so brilliantly. I mean, those are just such wonderful words. You're absolutely right. I mean, it just transcends barriers, really, and also unites people in that sense of emotion. Like, you don't really share that same kind of feeling of disappointment or or celebration.
I think it's the easiest way to unite people. You know, because at the end of the day, you go to the Emirates, for example, in my case, and you see people all different ages, all different parts of the world, from loads of different backgrounds, but it's the badge that they've got on the chest that unites them straight away, regardless of who they are.
Yeah, completely. So going to the point you made about footballers or your teammates not necessarily being informed, I mean, that's something I'm really interested in, because obviously with the academy system we see in this country that, I mean, I don't know that well, so I'm interested in you shedding a light on this, but in players essentially being, I guess, shielded from the things that are going on around them, do you think, I mean, to me, it seems like they then have a massive shock when you realise the world in which you live. Because I know I met somebody who basically said his sole job was to sort out parking tickets for players. And he said, I don't know how they survive when they leave, because people have got, you know, they've just got decisions made for them all the time. Is that just a massive exaggeration of what it's actually like?
It can be to an extent, but there always is that element that footballers often do live in a bubble where they don't necessarily have to think about a lot of things that regular people think about. Like, I'll give you the example. Bear in mind, it's all in the best interest of performance. But for example, when we were out in the US, everything is taken care of so that we just have to focus on our football. All the flights are all taken care of, all our food is there for us, all our rooms are sorted, all our kit is sorted for us, which is great at such a high performance environment, because at the end of the day, Arsenal is top of the top. You expect everything to be elite so that you can perform at your best on the pitch. But then at the same time, I'm not criticizing that at all. I think that's the way that it should be, so that you can perform at your best, is that if you are in that environment for a number of years and you never do anything outside of it, sometimes you can think that that's what the world is always like, and it can be a bit of a bubble, and you're not necessarily always understanding what other people go through, and you don't always understand other people's struggles. But that's like anything in life. If you're not doing something, you're not in everyday life every single day like other people, you're not gonna understand.
No, you're right, that you don't empathize or connect with it, do you? No, exactly. Have you as a player noticed more impacts of climate on the pitch, and have your teammates noticed that?
I mean, me personally, the only difference I would say is that it is hotter at times. It is warmer for longer periods of time, especially in countries where it wouldn't be as hot typically.
Yeah.
That's the biggest difference.
And really, that's not a talking point of conversation amongst teammates?
Not really for us, because we've never really had to face any extreme climate. We've never had games cancelled for the heat. Actually, I'll tell you what, sometimes there are games cancelled for the rain and things like that, just from waterlogged pitches.
Yeah.
Not as much at our level. I think there was only once or twice where it happened last season, but I know that it's really been affecting grassroots football here in the UK.
Yeah, and obviously in Brazil then, people seem to have really sat and take notice since the awful floods this season.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about the platform of football. How important do you think it is that players speak up around things that they care about? Sustainability, in your case.
I think it's massive, because if a player cares about something, they should make the most of the platform that they have. Because you think football players can be some of the most influential people in the world. Think about the amount of people that watch them on TV, their followings on social media. And it's always talked to us, they always talk to us about making sure that we have a positive image, regardless of who we are, where we come from. It's important, because you know how quick people can be to snap onto anything that's negative about a footballer. They'll be onto it straight away. So keeping a positive image is important. And talking about something that you care about, which is important in today's day and age, whatever it may be, any topic that's valuable at the moment, is going to not only help people around you, but also helps you as a footballer. It helps your public image. You know, people see you in a positive light. They see you as someone who's a great footballer, but then also a great person. Use the example of Marcus Rashford. You know, whenever people talk about him, they think, okay, yeah, he's a good footballer, but he's also a really good person who helped out people throughout lockdown who didn't have food. So it's positive associations, and it's the biggest thing. Use the platform. Like, it's some of the biggest platforms in the world that you have access to. You're not having to pay to have this time on TV, to have the time on social media or any of that. So use it to the advantage, use it to drive positive change.
And I mean, like you said before, there's also changes you can make internally at your club from having those conversations as well.
Yeah.
Picking up on the Rashford example, because I think it's a really good one. So weirdly, that almost seems less complicated to speak out about free school meals, mm-hmm. than talking about climate. Do you feel that?
Me personally, no, but I can understand why people would come from it, because something around food, free school meals, is something that I guess would be more widely accepted. People understand, be like, yeah, that's definitely something that is important. However, when it comes to something like sustainability, there's still some people that are divided about it. Some people say, oh no, nothing's going on, climate change doesn't exist, and things like that. It can be more sensitive of a topic.
Although those people are in a minority, and it still seems to be very politicized. Like, why do you think that is?
I personally don't feel that.
Okay, nice.
That it's difficult to speak out about something like sustainability. I've never found difficulty speaking out about it. So I think it depends person to person, and also the environment that you're in.
And also touching upon what you said earlier, I'd love you to build on, you know, you talked about the carbon intensive lifestyles because you are a footballer. So how do you kind of settle that, and how would you encourage other footballers to speak out, mm-hmm. even though they essentially are having...
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
To, as you said, fly long haul to go, you know, and play games.
I think the most important thing for footballers and for people to understand, because footballers can often get criticized, not just footballers but athletes in general, that advocating about sustainability, they can get criticized, be like, oh, but you travel so much, you have to fly, you have to go here, you have to go there. At the end of the day, you have to understand you're an athlete first, so performance is always going to be the priority. Football is a performance environment. So if you have to fly somewhere, you're going to fly there. There's nothing that you can do about it. There's no other way of me, for example, getting to Colombia. I'm not going to go 1 week by boat when I, in the middle of the season. And that's something that comes as part of the job. That's something to understand. And it's something that you just have to accept. It's like anything. It's not really something that you can control. The most important thing is controlling what you can control. And that doesn't just apply to sustainability. It applies to anything in life. Focus on the factors that you can control. And in our case as footballers, that's our day-to-day actions. Can we influence people at the club? Can we influence people around us to make small lifestyle changes? And I feel that's the most important thing, is that accepting that some things you're not going to be able to control, they come as part of your job. However, the factors that you can control and you can make a change, making sure that you're doing your best in those things.
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's like a famous quote that wraps up that. You basically just come up with yourself. That was mm-hmm. So in your day-to-day life then, going to the bits that you do control, what do you do? Because obviously you speak out really well and really eloquently, and even at the age at which you are, when it's so pressured to get that pro-contract, you're already looking at opportunities to do it. What else do you do kind of day-to-day that you have control over?
Yeah, so it's mostly the little things I've been doing for quite a while. First of all, I try not to use any single-use things as much as possible. I try and reuse as much as I can. I always make sure I've got a reusable water bottle. I rarely go out and eat stuff in different places. I always eat at home, so I'm cooking from scratch rather than buying really processed foods. I'm making sure that, for example, at Arsenal, we have these food containers which are compostable. Like, they're made out of cardboard and some plants, which is great, better than plastic. But I bring in my own one, my glass one, so that I can wash it and bring it back every day. I have an electric car, which not only is better for the environment, but it also saves me on costs. And is mostly, I try to just not to have much waste that doesn't need to be there necessarily. And I try to influence people around me. That's the key thing. Try and change behaviours and try and get people to think about what they're doing.
Definitely. Yeah. And I mean, we've got your dad gracing us with his presence today in the studio. Yeah. Do you talk to your parents?
Yeah.
About this, your family, and obviously your teammates as well, and more widely. So, with your mum working in that sector then, mm-hmm. have your parents always been very clued up around sustainability?
I'll say my mum, somewhat, she's been clued up about it from her industry. But also there are some things that I've said to them, like, look, let's change that slightly. Let's make sure that we're not wasting things that don't need to be wasted. Let's make sure that we're recycling things here. Oh, if we can walk there, let's walk there. And little things like that, that I think it's sometimes harder for me to speak about because it's just become so normal for me for many, many years. So it doesn't feel like a massive change. However, yeah. it's something that I've definitely tried to influence. And in our household, I would say we live quite sustainably.
And have you earned yourself any incredible nicknames from this? Because
no, I haven't.
Because I know I've become a bit of a like a meme within my friendship group.
Unless you want to start one now.
So you also spoke at the Eden Project in January.
Yeah.
So was that with Elliot, wasn't
that
it?
That was with Elliot.
And how did that go?
Yeah, it was really, really good. So the opportunity came up sometime late November in 2023. And it was, oh, we've got this opportunity, the Eden Project. So we prepared for it, and it was talking about basically everything that we've been talking about today, the power of football and sustainability and why the two are really important to go hand in hand. And to be fair, we got a decent turnout out there. I'd say there was about 100 people who stayed watching the whole time. There were loads of people walking past, and it definitely had a good impact. And it was something that people weren't used to hearing. People aren't used to hearing about sustainability coming from a football side.
Yeah.
They're always used to hearing it about just, oh, sustainability, climate change from the government or from these other organizations, say WWF or organizations that do great things, but people are too used to hearing it from the same thing. So they're like, oh, it's the same thing again. But then when they hear about it from football side, they're like, oh, this is something new. This is interesting.
Yeah.
Let me listen to it. And that's what it comes back to, the point where football unites people. As soon as they hear it from a football perspective, they're like, I'm a fan of football. If footballers are talking about sustainability, then sustainability must be something that's cool, or so-called cool, because some people don't think it's cool at all. It must be something that is important to football clubs, to football players, organizations within football. Maybe I should also take an interest into it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way to shift people's mindsets when it comes to this.
Totally. I mean, I know Joe Cole at Greenfoot Weekend this year, Mm-hmm. He just went, well, it just makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't I care?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, amazing. Well, I must say, you have been so eloquent. I basically want to nick a lot of what you've said and just post it out there. To finish off then, I have about two more questions. One is football related and one is climate related. So one comes from a mate of mine who's a very big Arsenal fan. He wants to know why you think there are so many Arsenal Academy players that make it through relative to other football academies. Like, what is it that Arsenal do differently, do you reckon?
For me, it comes down to one thing. It's the fact that at Arsenal, they don't care just about the footballer, but about the person as well. They care about making us better people and better footballers. Per Mertesacker, who is our academy manager, has a fantastic saying. Better people make better footballers, and better footballers make better people. And he's got a really cool, really cool drawing, like a visual of it, where it's a circle with the two things written together, showing that they both go hand in hand. And I think that's where it comes from, is that at the end of the day, you're going to get great football development at the majority of academies around the world. You know, you'll have great coaches who've played football before, who have a lot of experience in the game, and you'll get loads of great opportunities. However, it's the mindset that differentiates good footballers from top elite footballers. And a lot of footballers that make it out of Arsenal Academy, I'm sure, as your mate's seen, as a lot of people have seen, they don't just make it just to Arsenal, but anywhere around the world. And I feel what they teach us at Arsenal in terms of life skills, in terms of there's more outside of football and having our minds open, gives every player that comes out of Arsenal Academy, whether they become a footballer or not, a great opportunity to go and be successful in life.
That's such a good answer. And the other question then, are there particular players, pro players that you look up to, who speak out around climate and sustainability at the moment?
I think one person who I've always thought has done a great job is Hector Bellerin. I remember speaking to him a number of years back when I was 15, when I was doing some work with Octopus Energy. And he was one of the first guys that started speaking up about sustainability, when this would have been like 5-6 years ago now, when this topic was not touched upon at all in football. And the key thing that I was able to understand from him, which influenced me, is that he just stuck by himself. He didn't let what other people said to him about, oh, this is not cool, just focus on your football. He stuck with his own values and he moved forward to it. He stuck to what he believed, he spoke about it, and he was strong about it. He didn't let external factors influence him. And I think that's the most important thing when it comes to advocating for something that you believe about. So he's been a very inspiring character.
Alexi, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast today. Some just complete gems have fallen out of your mouth. I wish you the very best for this next season, and I really look forward to you genuinely making waves in terms of sustainability. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Katie. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, and it's been a really good conversation about loads of different things in sustainability. And I know that we need to keep pushing change, and together, collectively, players, clubs, organisations within football, and football as a sport, we keep going on the rise, and I know that there will be positive changes which have to be made. It's not just that we want to make, we have to make them.
So, I mean, that was quite an interesting point, I thought, in there. I mean, there's a lot of really interesting points, and we go back and reflect on, you know, everything we discussed at the beginning about, you know, his eloquence, his passion he speaks about sustainability with. You know, I found it really reassuring and left that podcast quite kind of energized, because there are a couple of things that he actually challenged in my own assumptions, one being the point he made about his teammates. So, you know, I'd assumed he'd find it quite difficult, and that there would be maybe kind of teasing and prejudice around speaking out around climate, and he'd earn a bit of a name for himself, but he didn't seem to have that problem, did he, at all?
No, he didn't. I think he made some really interesting points around, particularly around the point where he said that ignorance isn't the issue. It's around lack of understanding and education. So it was interesting to hear his perspective on that almost saying that everyone will be understanding but it's just around helping people understand the importance of climate change and sustainability and how it's going to affect us more in the future and how it is currently affecting us at the moment. And yeah, he's clearly very well read on the topic and doesn't lack any confidence in being able to articulate that message as well. And I think going forward, you know, that's what we need, and that's what we need very much so in the world of football and professional sport, are spokespeople who are genuinely interested in the area, but also have the knowledge and confidence, quite frankly, to articulate their views.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting because he didn't seem to see a question with it, like you said, you know, as soon as he was aware of the impact that climate change was having and that we were having, he just saw it as, you know, absolutely something he had to speak out about and address. But then it makes you wonder, doesn't it, him talking about the academy system, whether actually it needs to be something that is included within the education provided to academy players, you know, because otherwise, as we kind of touched upon in that interview, you come out the other side of your professional football career at whatever point you come out, and there are a variety of things of which you're just not aware.
Yeah, completely. I mean, there was a point in the podcast as well where you touched upon, you know, the sense of duty or responsibility to be a positive force and drive change. And I think it's really important to stress this, that it's not always on the individual, right? It can be on the individual, but it's also equally on the organisation and the platforms to drive that change. And in the world of sport, it is the rights holders, it is the football clubs, it is the teams. That should shoulder some of that. I wouldn't say burden is not the right word, but shoulder some of that responsibility in terms of education, particularly those clubs as well, which, you know, have leading sustainability strategies. You know, it's one thing having doing some good stuff and talking about it and having a very good image from a PR perspective, but to be truly authentic, that message should be resonating equally strongly within the organization too, and not only just on the business side, on the operation side, but all the way through the organization, so all the way to the players in the men's and women's teams and the academies on the pitches too.
But you do think as well, you know, when you touch upon business there and the actual business of football, I imagine there's a lot of decision makers within football that also aren't aware of what is happening around them at the moment.
Potentially, yes. I think we need to remember that in terms of regulation, football is an industry where, you know, regulation is a very hot topic. As we all know, the independent regulator is going to be coming in. The Premier League have began, from a sustainability perspective, putting in guidance and mandating certain elements when it comes to sustainability. So I'd say the football industry is likelier to have much more variation when it comes to any area, but particularly within that scope, sustainability too. So yeah, I think there is a big need for greater standardisation and education around sustainability. Definitely falls within that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, you know, it was a really great chat, and, you know, I think he is really quite a shining light when it comes to a player passionately and eloquently speaking out about something. He was very informed. He spoke in a way that completely resonated with everybody. I mean, any kind of last thoughts before, in fact, we launched the Pledgeable League of this season?
Well, I agree with everything you said, Katie. What I would say is that it's brilliant. Alexi's a goalkeeper, so we've got the sustainability goalkeeper champion. I think we need to find the other 10 on the pitch now. Yeah. Have the sustainability advocates starting 11 as a minimum. But yeah, I think what Alexi's doing and the stance that he's taking and how vocal he's being is a shining light. And hopefully we see more and more people come out and do similar things to what he's doing, right? And I think it's as with all change, it often requires a few, you know, brave people at the start to break down doors and remove barriers, and then hopefully others will follow too. So I'm hoping it's only the start of more player advocacy, particularly within like the elite echelons of professional sport. But you have to applaud Alexei for what he's doing and how openly he's talking about it, right? Because he talks about, you know, all the good stuff, but also he does talk about, you know, some of the areas where he doesn't have control too, around things like player travel, for example. And I think it was interesting to have his perspective on that too, because he's spot on. You know, you can, as a player or an athlete, you can only control what you can control, right? If, you know, players and teams traveling by plane, for example, it's not within his control. And like he made some good points around, in that instance, sporting performance being the number one objective, whereas not completely disregarding sustainability, but not being the number one consideration in that example. So I thought his candor was really, really good.
Yes, I agree. Although I do think that there needs to be a reshift of priorities, and there are things that players can do. So in the example that he gave, that was around an international tournament and flying abroad to be then followed by the normal season. But I think there are things that players can do who don't even want to speak out like Alexei does. And one of those would be having those conversations with clubs to reduce unnecessary flights, for example. Mm. Potentially even with governing bodies around, you know, the kind of tournament setup and ensuring that travel is minimized and sustainability is prioritized. But otherwise, you know, whilst you say player performance, I mean, you know, there are a lot of reports coming out at the moment around the impacts of climate change already on sport and player performance. And I think we're only going to see that more and more. I mean, we've touched upon it in previous episodes, but in fact, I found some really interesting stats when I was preparing something over the weekend. And it's, you know, there's so many separate examples, but we don't bring them all together. And I think very quickly we're going to see a really sharp increase in the number of players, for example, suffering from heat or, you know, having games rained off. Because at the moment they are examples that we all know, but we haven't kind of joined those dots, I think. So, yes, you're right about player performance, and that is what, you know, the football club is there for. But I think there has to be that balancing act because of the future of the sport.
Oh, completely, completely. And to your point, Katie, like we're seeing like the early kind of like symptoms of impacts of climate change on professional sport. Like it's only going to continue to be more and more impacted as the pace of change when it comes to sustainability continues to be too slow. So we're only going to see more and more instances of that. You know, like for example, we had like a linesman collapse in the extreme heat during the most recent Copa America tournament. There's been numerous games over the past season postponed as a result of, particularly at grassroots level, was as a result of unplayable pitches with flooding. And as you know, like we're coming into this time of the year now where, for example, even at the time of recording yesterday, the West Midlands received the whole month's worth of September rainfall in the space of 24 hours. So we're going to come into that period where potentially there's going to be even more games at grassroots level called off this at the tail end of this year and start of next year than there were last year. But I think, again, what we've been discussing, it's really important that we continue to talk about it, publicize it, and also show the year-on-year change and how things are worsening to strengthen that call to action.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, because we need to see that direct correlation. Anyway, let's go back. We've got that lovely positive note from Alexei, the amount that we have the power to actually drive change. There's a lot of new things on the horizon. Like you said, the football regulator, so things may well soon shift. Let's move on to this new season. We can't yet announce the winners of the Pledge Ball League from last season because those awards are about to be given out within this month. So we'll make a noise about that after that. But Heather, please tell us how this Pledge Ball League has already started, despite it being so early in the season.
Absolutely. So the Premier League and ESL leagues are back, and that only means one thing, that the Pledge Ball League is back too. So we're only on to match week 4, but we've already had some teams fighting it out in the Pledge Ball League. Our leader is currently Swindon Town, with Gosport Borough, Sheffield United and Arsenal completing our top 4. However, it's very early days and we know we'll see a lot of changes as the games go by. We do have some Pledge Ball fixtures coming up. So on the 15th of September, we have Bristol City Women versus Birmingham City Women, And then we have QPR versus Millwall on the 21st of September. So if you want to see your team win the Pledge Bowl League, get pledging and ask your club to get involved too. Good luck.
Amazing. Thank you very much. So please do go to pledgeball.org/fixtures, find your club and get them to the top of that league. And like I said, we will reveal the winners of those wonderful trophies from last season. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure, Heather, Alex. Welcome back to this new league and this new season. It's very exciting. We've got a lot of things happening this year. And I will see you on the next episode.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.